Good morning, Rabbi Isai. So, we are here in the Shaar Bitachon, Perek Hei. And the Chayavus Levavos is giving us the seven outstanding characteristics of a person who makes an effort to support himself, but there is a major difference between the way a Baal Bitachon supports himself and the way a non-Baal Bitachon does it. So last week we learned the first four, and of the first four, the last two were that the Baal Bitachon does his work, but he knows that the work he does is only a means to an end, and really the parnasa comes from the Rabbanei Shlalom. The actual profession he's in is merely an emtsoi, it's merely a means, and therefore he doesn't love it, he doesn't think it's the greatest, he doesn't have any particular attachment to it. He puts his faith in the Rabbanei Shlalom and knows that the particular line of business he's in is just a pipeline for the Rabbanei Shlalom to send them parnasa. If it should fall apart, he has no problem walking away from it. However, if it doesn't fall apart, it's just the difficult, so he recognizes that the pipeline is still a pipeline, and the fault is in the source that he's not worthy of getting from the source, so then he won't walk away from it. In addition, since he knows that everything is from the Rabbanei Shlalom, if he sees that he's a windfall profit, he has more money than he needs, so he knows that this must be that the money is not for himself, it's only for the Rabbanei Shlalom. And it must be that Hashem, again, is showing him and testing him to see whether he realizes, he thinks he made the money or Hashem made the money. So the Baal Bitachon, the person who's not a Baal Bitachon, he says, no matter how much he has, he never has enough. Mishnei Baal Bitachon, ha'olam v'chol asher boi enei masbik v'einav l'parnasasa v'sipuch trochav. So the fellow in America who has worth $100 billion in climbing every day, I'm sure if you'll make you'll have an interview with Bill Gates, he'll tell you he doesn't have enough. Clark, no question. As he once asked John Paul Getty, who's worth a few billion, how much is enough? He said, how much is enough? Just a little bit more. I need a little bit more. Always need a little bit more. But if the Baal Bitachon knows that every penny is apportioned by the Rabbanei Shlalom, he knows that the Rabbanei Shlalom is sending every day what you need for today. So if I have extra for today, what am I supposed to do with this money? So what is all this money doing in my checking account? Why do I have so much extra here? Must be have to get rid of this tefer tzedakah. You just listen to me? So that must be a reason for it. It must be it. That's the shot. So because it's all from the Rabbanei Shlalom. Hashem gives exactly. But I don't need all this money today. I can't even spend all this today. I wouldn't want to spend this money. I'm going to spend all this extra money I have today. Where am I going to go? I'm tired. I want to stay home. I want to learn something. I want to run around. I want to go to the mall. I can't even spend this money today. What should I have? A yacht? A small yacht. It's only a small yacht. But what is a small yacht for? It's a pain in the neck. No, it must be I have to give it away. That's what a Baal Bitachon is supposed to think. Number five. This is a new thing. That the Baal Bitachon, even when he is Osek and Zemtsoyim Agashmiyim, his main kavana, when he goes to work every day, is that I am not preparing to bring home the bread for my wife and my children and myself. My main purpose going to work today is that I am preparing myself for my Olam Haba. Anything I'm doing is only to get ready for Olam Haba. And part of my way of getting ready for Mahava is by supporting my wife and my children. It's a big mitzvah to support your wife. To support anybody who's underneath me is a form of tzedakah. The Gemara says, "Oy said tzedakah v'chaleis ze'azon bonav ubnois avaktanim." A person who takes care of his little children. That's when Tim shot yesterday from my finger of Vichil Michal Zlotchev. He ties sachar. We'll discuss it more in the tzedakah shir. But he says, "Poshuk shot sounds like in the Gemara that a person who's refines his children." Zil children, that's called tzedakah. That's called tzedakah. Zokter lemaisa. The Gemara says after the children are 6 years old, they're on their own. It really is tzedakah. Once the children can take, in the olden days, you could beg after 6 years old, you could send them in the street with a pushka. But he says, what's the main reason why people don't give tzedakah? They say, I'd love to give tzedakah, but my children come first. I have to take care of my kids. So I can't give miser yet. I can't give money yet because I have to take care of my wife and my kids and my family. So I said, tzedakah b'chalei zezon b'nav nais. If you see a person is supporting his wife and his children properly all the time and he never has ups and downs, it's because he gives the tzedakah. The prop of Isis stuck, the reward of Isis stuck, the person gets stuck it all the time, doesn't say, well, this week I have to take care of my kids, I have to pay my camp tuition, how can I give you money tzedakah? That's chus, that he's Isis stuck, to others, he will be zon as bun of a benais of the ones who are depending on him, that he will support them. So don't use your children as an excuse, just the opposite. The reward for giving tzedakah always will be to mafarnas them. So the Kavod Rav says, that the main purpose of going to work every day is the Gavaltika Prabha. You're going to work every day for one reason. Not for your kids and your wife. Primarily you're going to work to be able to make Shabbos, to be able to learn, to be able to put on tefillin, to be able to go to shul, to be able to have a shul, to be able to have yeshivas, to be able to have a chavrusa. You're going to work primarily to have the money to get your Olam Haba. One of the things is bread. One of the things is paying for your car payments. One of the things is the mortgage. That's not the reason you got to work. You're going to work because you need money to live in this world to get you to the next world. Everything you need for this world is only on the next world. And therefore, it cannot be that your parnasa is a contradiction to the next world. So if in the course of your parnasa, you have to be places you don't belong, or you have to cheat, or you have to do something which is not going to be at Olam Haba, you have to lie, you have to be with people who are no good, you have to be in a bad environment, you can't learn, you have no time to have a minion, you have to run to work, you go to play, you have to fly to places that you doesn't belong in. So it couldn't be that that's the emtsoi. That's vadai. The minute you know that your parnasa makes you make any compromises with Yiddishkeit, that cannot be your parnasa. Because the whole purpose of parnasa is not for this world. If you look at parnasa, I have to live in this world. No, it's not l'mhava v'esechnesh, but this world. But then you can say, well, I know my parnasa is a contradiction of l'mhava, but look, parnasa is for this world. No, says the Chavos, you're looking at parnasa all wrong. The main purpose you're going to work every day is to bring it to Olam Haba. So, therefore, the kind of a vehicle which might undermine and hurt even a mashu, even a fraction, in your fulfillment of Torah, or might make you go against the will of Hashem, it cannot be. They will not. If your parnas is supposed to be your refuah, so to merapi your neshama, it's supposed to heal your neshama, improve your neshama. So how can you do it through a machla? You're gonna heal yourself by going into an infected place, a contaminated place. It can't design. You're gonna heal yourself from a sickness by going into a place where the sickness is stronger. Try and get to Olam Haba. There's a sickness called Olam Haza actually. This veld is a krankheit. Olam Haza is a sickness. Olam Haza is a krankheit. I'm going to work to find some way that I can buy myself a better pair of tefillin, learn more, do mitzvahs, have Shabbos, buy some svarim, so I should get out of this krankheit to Olam Haza. Olam Haza is the pits. Olam Haza is the pits. Olam Haza is a pit. It's a mud. It's quicksand. I gotta get out of this quicksand. So I should get myself deeper in the quicksand to get out of the quicksand. Doesn't make sense. Devout. Alright, so the person with Batan Balakim, He doesn't, this is my job, this cannot be, this is just because this looks like I'm doing well over here, that's only a test. If I'm doing well in this business, which is bad for me, it's not good for my neshama, gotta get out of here. So, we all know the story of the famous Baal Tshuva here in Muncie. Baal Tshuva for over 30 years already, maybe 35. He's once in the movie industry, in the television industry, big star, really a star. And he started becoming Baal Tshuva. He's making a fortune of money. He was one of the biggest stars in America. And he started becoming Baal Tshuva, so what's he supposed to do? But still, he was in television, he was making a lot of money. So he made up that he's only going to be in movies where the women are dressed sneezdik, and then they can't have shootings on Shabbos, and he wears a toupee, so he shouldn't have to go out to a yarmulke. And I don't know, he did the Tarzan scenes. He had to wear a pair of tzitzis somehow. I don't know, he did the... The kids here, he was trying his best to be a firm yid in Hollywood. A firm yid in Hollywood just doesn't go. So the fellow was smart enough to realize that even though he's making a lot of money in Hollywood, this cannot be the way, because the purpose of getting money is to get to Olam Haba. And Hollywood is the most diametrically opposed place in the world to Olam Haba. So he quit. And now he's just like one of us here, a Muncie, regular fellow, doesn't have all the wealth of Hollywood, but Baruch Hashem, he's on the way to Olam Haba. Married a wonderful woman, a tzaddikus, and he has fine children. But he realized that Hollywood cannot be the way to get his parnasa, no matter how lucrative and the covet, forget the money, the covet of it. And now he lost all that covet, all that money. But he was smart. So the kids, Zakhtar Shlomo Melech says, Chacham Yare Vesor Meira. The Chacham is always afraid that maybe his parnasa will undermine him. The Chacham is afraid that the parnasa might drag him deeper than him has it. Therefore, Sor Meira stays far away from evil. But Ksiel, Misaber Boteach, but Ksiel, he tramples over everything, and he's a Babi Tachan. Ksiel's a Babi Tachan. He's the real Babi Tachan. I be talking that my Parnasa will not undermine me. He's no problem. My Parnasa, no problem. It's great. I have no problem, my Parnasa. No problem. All the shyness I have and the Parnasa, no problem. I got no problems. Chacham Yari Visar Meira, the Chacham is always afraid, but the Ksiel, he dafke goes against the Rat Hashem. He learns the pshat. Rashi learns pshat in Mishlei. Yudalad ksil misaber. The ksil goes against the Rat Hashem. Lashnaveira ubeteach. But nothing's bad going to happen to me. He's a fool. We're not talking about a person not shomer Torah. The ksil is shomer Torah. But you know, I'm so good with God. I'm such a chash of a person. I'm so different. I'm so special. And parnasa goes so good that I can do averus in my parnasa, and it's not a problem. Not a problem. It'll all be good. So the gavaltig hashkafa with parnasa. That's the fifth hashkafa of the chayvus levavus. The sixth hashkafa of the chayvus levavus is that the baal bitachin. Oh, this is gavaltig. What is the real proof of a real baal bitachin? This is really mamish. Everything else is very personal. Only the baal bitachin himself knows. The Baal Bitachon knows himself if he's compromising his values, if he's getting to Olam Haba. What is a clear proof of a Baal Bitachon? Zog Tachav Zavav is a Baal Bitachon who of al kol sugi anoshim. Everybody loves him. And this also requires a lot of explanation. He says the Baal Bitachon is popular. Oh, shun good. It must be a popular person. Well, I know a lot of, we'll see about this. He says the Baal Bitachon is of al kol sugi anoshim. Many people love him, all kinds, and they all have faith in him, they rely on him, because they know that this Baal Bitachon will not cause them any harm. They are perfectly comfortable and secure. They're not afraid that he'll take their wives away, they're not afraid he'll take their money away, they're not afraid he'll take their jobs away. And the Baal Bitachon himself, there's a very important point of the Baal Bitachon. The Baal Bitachon is never a paranoid. If you see somebody who's very nervous all the time and anxious, he's nervous, Nishkin Baal Bitachon. Baal Bitachon is not afraid that people are going to hurt him. Because he knows that nobody can hurt him. There's not one niver in the world. Nobody can hurt him. Even a fly can't hurt you. There's no toelis, no nezek, only the Rabbeinu Shalom. And every time I'm afraid that a person mazik him. Just like, it's me that connected to me, the Mayim upon him. The Baal Bitachon knows he would never hurt anybody. For my advantage, I should steal somebody's client. I should take someone's job away. I would take someone's covet away. Can't design. Whatever's coming to me is coming to me. I should do anything underhanded for a little covet. I should do something underhanded for a little money. I would never do it. So therefore, the Baal Bitachon cannot conceive that somebody else would do something to him. So if you see somebody claims they're Baal Bitachon, they're always nervous. So this guy, you know, I gotta be careful. People are afraid that, they're afraid to let a Rosh Yeshiva visit the Yeshiva, because maybe the Rosh Yeshiva will give a good shiur, and maybe he'll take my bachim away. Any person is so paranoid. Well, if a Rav is afraid to let someone speak in the shul, people often ask me, how about that person speaking in the shul? Aren't you afraid that the chveis was, it'll take away, you won't look good, it'll take away from your popularity? I mean, crazy people, I mean, people who sugar. I'm not mad. He'll collect so much money, maybe. How can you let the Rashiva come to your neighbor? You give him names? He's going to take away. What are you going to do? Take away from Parnasa. He take away from Parnasa. Rabbi Chanan Basmi used to always say, you have to have a schus to give to Yeshiva. He said over the story how he once went collecting someplace. And he asked the Rav to introduce him to the Kehila. And the Rav gave a fiery drush about the importance of Achzakas Torah. This is in the 30s. And The Rav told her, Mamash, you gotta give a Torah, Torah's Gevaltik. Everyone was Mamash fired up. And anything Rabbi Chanan would have asked, they would have said. But right, the last words of the Rav before he introduced Rabbi Chanan were, he says, you know, Mamash, no, this yeshiva, you could support the whole yeshiva of Branovich for like $100, you could support the whole yeshiva for a month. That's how cheap it was in those days. But you know, anything you do is good for Torah. I mean, even $20 is great. Even $5 is great. You know, even a dollar, can you imagine? With a dollar, you can kind of have a Rabbi Yisai Mamish with a dollar. You can kind of have a Gevaldik. Make sure to give at least a dollar to the yeshiva. So since he ended up on the note that even a dollar is great, when he said $100 is worth the yeshiva a month, the guys were up for their wallets already. $100 is worth the yeshiva a month. But then he couldn't forgive the yeshiva to give. So $100 a month is balabatam. So he ended up, and even a dollar is great. So everyone ended up giving a dollar. No one gave $100. No one gave even $5. The rabbi said, even Gevaldik, he had to have a schus, a purity of spirit, to be able to ask and help somebody else. But you're afraid that someone else getting, you can take away from you, and it's very common, then you're not a Baal B'Tochen. Baal B'Tochen knows nobody can take away a penny. And therefore, he wouldn't dream of taking a penny from somebody. So he wouldn't dream of someone can take away from him. It goes hand in hand. So therefore, Baal B'Tochen is a very popular person. He is a very popular person. And therefore, he loves the people. Why should I be paranoid? If the person doesn't give me what I think he should give me, it's not Bashert, it's not his fault. It's because their Bashem didn't put something in his head. If Hashem wanted him to give me something, Hashem would have put in his head, Rabid, please go to this man's house and give him something. If he's not giving me what I think he should give me, that's my Mishagas. He should give me. No one has to give me anything. No one owes me anything. If there's anybody who owes me something, it's their Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak. In other words, if anything's coming to me, it has to start from Hashem. If Hashem wants it, he'll put in the head of some person who lives on the other side of the world to send me a check. A person at the end of the world will send me a check out of nowhere. And if it's not coming to me, then the guy I put in so much koiches, and I've been flattering him and working on him and ingratiating myself with him for 5 years, and I finally come to the kill and say, well, now will you please give me that donation? What? No, sorry. Flat, no negotiation, nothing. It's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Baal B'Tochen knows all from the Ribbono Shel Olam, I should flatter people. Al tiftuchim medivim ben adam shein le teshua. There's no yeshua in people. All yeshuas are from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he's not afraid of people, the Baal B'Tochen, the people there aren't afraid of him. So the biggest sign of Baal B'Tochen, he's not paranoid from people, and he's popular with people. Now, it's interesting, it doesn't say though, I want to make this very clear, that the Baal B'Tochen, it doesn't say the Baal B'Tochen, everyone loves him. It just says the Baal B'Tochen, all kinds of people love him. He says the Lashon in the original translation is that he's of l'chol kitos niyadam. In other words, he has a very large following. It's not hard to believe that the Chassidish Rebbe, who is beloved by his own Chassidim, to be beloved by all Chassidim, that's much harder. To be beloved by Misnagdim too is even harder. To be beloved by Svardim is even bigger. To be beloved even by Fragyan is even bigger. So if a person has a following, which is polychromatic, he has a rainbow coalition, and all kinds of people, you would imagine, should have no shaykhs. So that shows that he's a real Baal B'Tochen. So if Shlomo Zalman Arvas Levaya had the schus of being there, so you saw everybody from all stripes. It wasn't only the yeshivish, it wasn't only the Yushalmis, he's Yushalmi. It wasn't only the Prushim, it wasn't only the yeshivish, it wasn't only the Hasidim, it wasn't only the Sfardim, it was Fraya, it was Kipos Shrugot, it was all kinds of people. Does it mean he didn't have an enemy in the world? I don't know. He was a super special person, but could have had enemies. Certainly, some people didn't come, didn't come. Every person came. It means to say that you see that a person who, by nature, people should have no shaykhs to this person. They're attracted to his personality. There's a universal language called B'Tochen. That means he's a Baal B'Tochen. But again, the Gemara says any rabbi, or any Rosh Hashiva, or any Marbistai, or any holy person who is all popular and everyone loves him, and that's something wrong. There's some people who are, the Baal B'Tochen is not, he's not a people pleaser. The Baal B'Tochen doesn't go out of his way to ingratiate himself to people. That's wrong. If you see a guy doing anything to ingratiate himself, svelt and gansam. I was so upset with a fellow who came to me collecting, sounded like a very good cause, and I'd give him some money in the previous year. And then he comes and he says, oh, and I want to give you a matana. And he pulls out some kind of a tchotchke from Yerushalayim. I said, what? You're wasting your money, matana? I mean, what is this? What's going on here? I thought you're a very nice, pure tzedakah. You You way you told me it's very nice and clean and neat, and you're helping some people in Yerushalayim, and now you with tzatzkes, you have to ingratiate yourself to me that you don't know how much you've undermined everything you said, because your cause speaks for itself. And using anything else, any gimmicks to ingratiate yourself with me, I need this narishkeit. First of all, it's mamash an insult to me. It's mamash an insult, you should know. And it's an insult to your institution. That means it doesn't speak for itself. You have to use shtick to go in. I'm very disappointed. What? You ruined the whole thing. It mamash, it takes away from the whole thing, this kind of shtick. Sometimes, one of those, you're a big fairy, your hakar is a type. But that wasn't, he came around, he had a whole sack full of little kaisel, whatever, little tchotchkes. It cost $10 a tchotchke. What are you wasting money on tchotchke? Chdarftas, you need it. So, the kids of the Baal Bitachon doesn't do anything to ingratiate himself. He is ingratiating himself by his very being. People are naturally attracted to a holy person. A holy, clean, pure neshama. A person, of course, you have to be a pure neshama yourself. Some people, the neshamas are so sullied, they don't appreciate a pure neshama. They're threatened by a pure neshama. There are, to state the distorted people, people are twisted out of shape. So purity gets them very nervous. But the average person who has a pure neshama, or a high level of purity, or at least an acceptable level, they see a pure person, they're attracted. So a Baal Bitachon will attract you from all different camps, regardless of their garb, regardless of their political ideology. The Baal Bitachon has a widespread popularity. But doesn't mean he's totally popular. Anybody who's totally popular is doing something wrong. Now, the person who has not been talking, he has no friends. Because in his heart, he speaks been talking, but he's not been talking. Because in his heart, he's really jealous of those people. He's jealous, whether he admits it or not. And anytime I see you have something which I would like, I feel you stole it from me. A person I'll be talking, anybody who has something he doesn't have. No shakas, no, you stole it. So he comes to someone, I live over here in Muncie, I go to LA, I see someone with a nice house. It's nicer than my house. Why does he have a nice house? He stole from me. That's the nature of people. If you have something I want, I just met you 5 minutes ago, it belongs to me. You're taking something away from me. That's always up there. Kol davar shuroi, kol davar shuroi etzlein. Your parnasa is taken away from my parnasa. And the Chavis Levavis again doesn't tell you his Makairis, but this is Mamish the Yerushalmi. In Yuma, the Yerushalmi and Yuma, we're holding in the 3 weeks to drive off, and the Yerushalmi and Yuma says, where did the Sinas Chinam come by Yesheni? What is the source of Sinas Chinam, Zad Yerushalmi, by Yesheni, by Yisrishin? It was clear what they were. Of the Zorig, Yilaraya, Shirazdamim. By Yesheni, Zogdi Yishami, Yazaloshin, they were Loim Nim Taira, Oyskim and Mitzvahs, Vahoya Bahem, Kol Veses Toy, that all kinds of good Vesem is all kinds of good, Minhagim, and all kinds of things, they had wonderful organizations, you name it, they had great ideas, and they had tape libraries, and swarm lendings, and they had special education, and they had camps, and they had this, and they had that, and they had Torah videos, and this foundation, and that foundation, they had all kinds of Zach and Bayesheni, and it was beautiful in the Beis HaMikdash, the nicest ever in the history, some gorgeous Beis HaMikdash, Hayom Kol Vesas, of Allah Gutta Zach, and anything you could think of, not just Torah Mitzvahs, but any kind of a configuration, any kind of a good idea, they put into practice, they were gewaltig. But, so what happened? Because they loved money, they hated one another. So ultimately, everything they did was a competition to the other guy. Yeah, I made this wonderful organization to help people. But I can't tell you how many help organizations, Jewish Red Crosses, Jewish Special Eds, are at each other's throats. Rahman al-Islam. In America, it's hardball. Hardball. Mamish cutthroat. Nishpashim. I see that call last week. I stay away from it. It's crazy. You can mamish. You can always lose your talking. You can lose your amuna. Here, people are supposed to be doing good to each other, but there's a competitive do good organization, and anyone wants to kill the other guy because they're undermining their hachnasa from some other place. Unbelievable. It's mamish. It chills you to the bone. I'm not trying to be dramatic. It mamish dampens your entire fervor when you hear chesed organizations competing with each other and mamish stabbing each other in the back and slitting each other's throat, and they would murder each other because they're running after the same buck. So you can do great Torah mitzvahs, but if you love the money, and ultimately it's my organization, and it's my ego, and it's my salary, that's my children's salary, and my son-in-law's salary, so we're at each other's throats. So you can have kol davar tayv shebaylam. But mitayv she'ayvim as amamah, we love money, and the bitachon is the money. Sign them zazed, Yerushalmi is unbelievable. There should be big signs all over the, I don't know if Bobby didn't put this in, tell you the truth. There should be signs over every place in the world. Mitayv she'ayvim as amamah, and sign them zazed. The only way to get rid of sin is chinam, dry vachon, is this avos. What does avos want to mean? That you have bitachon in the money more than their baishtom. Zok that the Eina Beteach Bashem loves the money, and therefore everybody in the world is his competitor. And anybody who has more money than him, he hates because it's his money. It's my money. He took my money. Because, you know, I'll be talking. All the money in the world is not enough to satisfy me. So whatever you have is taken away from me. Deep in my heart, I'm really jealous. Not more than jealous. Mama, jealousy means I really think it's coming to me. Why you? You? Me? You or me? Come on. Who deserves the money more than me? Magic mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all? I'm fair too. I'm not just fair, pretty, I'm fair. If I had the money, I divide it properly. You see, I know what to do with the money. You know, Hashem gives you money. You dealt what you are. What do you know for money? I know what money's all about. I of course, use Hashem Shemayim, actually, and only for good causes. Everyone has the dream, if I won the lottery, I would do all the good things. They would not do it. They would not do it. Not so simple. Not so simple. Once you have the money, you don't give it away at all. Zok that ain't about be talking. That ain't about by definition. That ain't about be talking. The sourpuss. So you see somebody who's a misogynist. He is a misanthrope. Doesn't love people. Guy's nasty. Guy's farbissin. Can't be about be talking. It can't be. About be talking loves everybody because everybody's his ally. We're working with the same Rebbeinu Shlom. No one's competition. No one's taking a thing away from me. This is the hardest thing in the world. This we could also close up on this right here. We could close up the Savior because this to fulfill. So if I thought about I'll be talking until now, I have to hand them my be talking card. You'll see another, the seventh one, you'll see for sure why it's not so simple to be about be talking. Because one of the other simon of about be talking is he doesn't talk about it all the time. If a guy goes around telling everybody, I'm about be talking, if you go around announcing it, it's not about be talking. So that's for sure. There's no cards in this club, by the way. If you say I'm about be talking, not about be talking. But one great sign of not about be talking is a person that doesn't like people. If you're nervous about people, they can take away from me. Which Rosh Yeshiva said that the Baal Tegavart, I think he told me, many years ago, he said, when the Rosh Yeshiva goes around at 12 o'clock at night, walks up and down in the back of the Beis Medrash Yeshiva, and he sees 10 masmidim still learning, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, you're such nachas, Baruch Hashem, Tazayshem. That's not Avos Torah. Avos Torah is not when the Yeshiva goes up and down the aisles of his Yeshiva 1 o'clock in the morning and says, oh, wow, beautiful Bach, I'm learning 1 o'clock in the morning, it's such a smother, such a Ziz guy. That's not Avos Torah. Avos Torah is when the Rosh Yeshiva goes to a different Rosh Yeshiva's Yeshiva, and he sees the yeshiva is full at 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. He says, oh, Baruch Hashem, my entire Klal Yisrael. Look how nice this Baruch Hashem and someone else's yeshiva. That's Avos Torah. When it's my yeshiva, that's Ava, my institution. It's Ava of me, my yeshiva. But the proof, it could be Avos Torah. We don't know. If you go to someone else's yeshiva, the competition, the one where 10 of your best Baruch Hashem went last month to his yeshiva, and you still have an offer in his yeshiva, oh, that's a raya. That it's Avos Torah. That's the right, it's Avos Torah. So the kids of the Bateh of Elokim, everybody's his rival, everybody's enemy, everybody is a potential threat. The world is threatening. Everyone's taking my parnasa away. Everyone's taking my covet away. So he sees, if he's a speaker, he sees someone speaking, why am I not speaking? Why didn't they call me to speak? I'm the greatest speaker. That guy, me, why not me? What's going on over here? You're giving him covet, why not me covet? As if covet comes from people. Everything's from the Rebbeinu Shlom. And the minute something wrong happens, the minute something bad happens to the person who is not a Babi Tochen, he blames other people. It's that person's fault. It's that person. Because he believes in Dimyayna, Zak the Chavis of Ovis. This man who's living in fantasy world. So the Babi Tochen, the person who's not a Babi Tochen, is the precursor of Walt Disney. He's living in fantasy land. He's living in the world of Dimyon. He's living in the world of imagination. He thinks that people can help or people can hurt. And he's mayis, but he hates people. And he speaks Lashon Hara. One of the biggest signs in Abba Yitzhak is speaking Lashon Hara. If you speak Lashon Hara about somebody, like Nishkin Baal B'Tachim, that means that person's a threat. You only speak Lashon Hara about the people who threaten you. But how do you threaten me? I have no shach with this person. And have you met this guy who's multi-millionaire? No, he is a threat. Because why does he have money? It's your money. You feel he stole your money from you. So you say a lashon hara about multi-millionaires, even though you never met the guy, you joy ripping him down. Because if he has a million and I don't, he took my money away. It depends. You go to a basement. You have to have a din fire to decide if he's really mazik you. And you have to know what happened over there. It's not so simple. Sometimes you deserve it, sometimes you don't. Whatever it is, you have to know.
That person is right. That person may be wrong, but you may.
That's true, right? Yeah. Like governing that person in mazik, you still deserve it. There's one question, no question. Shimi cursed David, he was wrong to curse David. But David said, I deserve it. So he's wrong, in the end, Shimi got killed. But David said, right now let him curse me, because I know in Shemaim I deserve the cursing. So if someone's giving you a tzaris, you can be pretty sure, you can be vadai, that if you didn't deserve it, you wouldn't get it. That he is wrong to something else. So therefore, since Aki's wrong, I'll be tired. You have the right to go to the basin. You should go to the basin and stop him. You should go to the basin and stop him. But meanwhile, while you're suffering, you should know that you couldn't suffer unless Hashem decreed it. But Hashem says, I'll be there to stop. Let's just take it to work every day. So you have to go to the basin. If you're really smart, just like some people don't go to work, all they do is daven. So I do a shtablus for a parnasa, a daven. That's my shtablus. So the Gemara says in Gittin, "Daim l'Hashem v'schaylaloi." If you have an enemy, if you don't want to go through the whole basin, it's pain in the neck. Daven against your enemies, and they'll be silent. "Daim l'Hashem v'schaylaloi." But mapalei chalolim chalolim. The Gemara says, "You daven, and Hashem will take care of them. Then you can go direct to the boss." She's like parnasa. You can go to work, or you can go direct to the Rebbeinu Shlom. You can do. You gotta do something. You recognize that's Minashamaya, and you gotta talk to the person in charge. If you think that the person in charge is the base, then fine, which is for most people, it should be like that. A higher level, daven straight to the Rebbeinu Shlom, but do something about it, like you do anything. For another two, you can daven. The kids are, and even the Baal Bitach, even the Baal Bitach, you know, the daven every day, you're supposed to thank Hashem for us every day, but if you're okay, you have to daven every day for Parnassah. You should know, real Bobby Talk wouldn't even daven for Parnassah. He doesn't even have to daven every day. You know, he really believes Hashem is going to send them. But what he has to do is he has to thank Hashem for what he has every day. He has to thank Hashem for what they have. If you have the money already, what do you daven? You don't have to daven for tomorrow. So you're supposed to daven every day for today's Parnassah. If I have enough for today, so say, Hashem, thank you. I know that today's Parnassah is only here in your schus, and I know that next second I can have a fire chas of Shalom and everything can be lost. So please Hashem keep it by me today. I have the money in my pocket already. Thank you. I know that only stays there by your good graces. The kids, so the person who's not about to be talking is living in a fantasy world, and that's why he says Lashon Hara and tries to rip other people down, because he feels that I will knock that guy and I will say that he's no good. Maybe he'll lose his money. He'll come to me where it really belongs, because I really deserve the money. And therefore, that person who's not about to be talking is Moos. He's disgusting. He's the most maguna b'yaisa b'aylam azeh b'alam abadah. Not b'al b'tochen. The less b'tochen you have, the more repulsive you are to people. Like it says in Mishlei, ikesh leiv, the person of a stubborn heart. He doesn't want to admit to the truth that it's only the Rabbeinu Shloilam. The person who's not b'al b'tochen is stubborn. He doesn't want to see the emes. Lo yimtza toiv, he'll have no goodness in life. He'll have no friends, he'll have no real goodness in his life. He has no nothing. He has no nothing. So this is the sixth thing. Now there's a seventh thing, but it's a little too long to start right now. But let me just, the seventh thing of a Baal B'tochen, the difference between a Baal B'tochen and not Baal B'tochen, is that the Baal B'tochen, I will not finish this today, I'll just touch upon it. The Baal B'tochen doesn't worry about tomorrow. He just lives for today, doesn't worry about tomorrow. And the Baal B'tochen, he's always living in the future. He's always worried about tomorrow. And because that, he says, oh, I will certainly sit and learn. I'm going to retire very soon. I'm going to retire. I want to sit and learn. I want to daven with a minion, the slow minion. I certainly want to come to Chavos Levavos this year. I want to stay with the Hedney afterwards. I want to have a Chavrus after that. I'm going to Beis Medrash Elyon and learn with private Chavrus after that. Rabbi, believe me, my heart is in the right place. I want to do all the right things. Only thing is that I'll do it after I get enough parnasa to live for the rest of my life, and enough for my kids also. I'm not worried about my grandchildren now, Rabbi. I'm not that bad. My grandchildren not. But I get enough money in the bank for me and my kids learn Kailo. So then I'll talk to retire. And then I'll do it, Rabbi. And it's not far off. It is not far off. When I bought my apartment in Israel, of course, because you have to have a house in Muncie for the summer, winters in Israel, maybe vice versa. A house in Miami, maybe. That's a third. No, I'm not so greedy, Rabbi. Just apartment in Israel. house in Muncie, enough to live on, you know, and then I will retire and learn the whole day. My heart, I got the right asagas, then I will learn. Till then, what can I do? Till then I can't give much pratsadok either, I'm very busy, I will not do it. So he's always living in the future. That person's up there, he will never, never, never be happy. Never, never do it, it'll never happen. He'll never, never be happy. Because he really wants to live in Olam Haza. He's an Olam Haza mensch. The Baal Bitachon, bottom line, says the Chavador, is an Olam Haba mensch. And Mama says the word, the whole, you cannot be an Olam Haza mensch and be a Baal Bitachon. Bitachon all means that I'm not living in this world. So in other words, my whole purpose is to get to the world of God, where God is revealed. And therefore I know that everything comes from God. So everything comes from a different world, and everything's supposed to lead me to a different world, the world of God, Olam Haba. But as long as a person is rooted on the Mahazah and pays lip service to God, but he's rooted on the Mahazah, the Mahazah is real by him, so he's not living a fancy world, because this world is only virtual reality. It's not reality. The ganze Welt is only virtual reality. It is not reality. Reality is Rabbanu Shalom, and that's Olam Haba. The Baal Bitachon is Isaac on Olam Hazeh. He's Isaac in virtual reality to bring him to reality. But he knows every second this is just mamish virtual reality, but it's a fantasy. It's just it's not real. And he goes to work every day, but just to get the Olam Haba. And the reward is the Olam Haba. And everything comes, oh my, siyata shmaya is Olam Haba. And therefore everybody in the world looks like an enemy, looks like a rival. It's not true, he's not a rival. Not a rival, just the opposite. If I look at the world as user-friendly, that the Hashem created the world to help me get to Olam Haba, then the whole world becomes my friend. Then the guy who is a cutthroat competitor to somebody else can be my best friend. My best friend. How many stories of the person who mamish, the worst person in the industry, becomes the best friend of the Baal Bitachon, whereas he's killing every one of his other competitors. Because the Baal Bitachon looks at the whole world as user-friendly. I believe in God. I believe Hashem made the world for only one reason. Hashem made the world for one reason, to get me closer back to God. If I believe that, then the whole world is my ally. No one's going to hurt me. No one's going to hurt me. And even though this guy, the same person who's nasty to everybody else, that's because they don't believe that. That's why Hashem is punishing them through that person. Because they believe in that person. I believe only in God, and therefore I believe Hashem made everybody here to help me. Everybody's my friend. Everybody is my friend. And they're going to help me to get where I want, which is Olam Haba. And if I want them to help me get Olam Haba, which will help them be on the Olam Haba, we'll all be happy. But if I only want to get Olam Hazeh, then everybody else in the world's competition, because Olam Hazeh is finite, we're all good, running for the same slice of the pie. The guy's going to hate me, Taka, because I'm his competitor too, he's my competitor. And then, if I'm working for Olam Hazeh, we are all competitors. If I'm working for Olam Haba, we are all allies, friends, partners, shutzvim, brothers, mamish, the world is one big happy brotherhood. Okay, everybody, so we'll stop here.